I can't believe it's time to talk
and
money.
And now,
once
an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
It honestly feels like I'm in here like three times a week.
I know. But that's okay. That's good. Okay. What I can't believe is that it's almost the end of May. It's like one more week of this month to go.
I know. It's frightening, isn't it?
And all the things I did a year ago, I'm thinking, really, is it a year ago? It's just like yesterday.
We were having a conversation in the office this week about preparing for Christmas holidays.
Oh, yes.
And that how that felt like it was a month ago.
Yes.
And here we are, you know, knocking on the door of the end of financial year, and that sort of 30 June panic starts to kick in for some people about, oh, well, I've been meaning to get to that. Well, we're 5 months
in
now.
Yeah, it's very, very...
Giddy up, so, yes.
Get on with it. Now, in recent weeks, we've addressed all sorts of different questions, including things to do with the aged pension that you can get from Centrelink. But today, we're going back to the other end of the age spectrum, and we're asking the question, how you can give your kids the best start to life financially?
Yes.
Now, this is a perennial question, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
look,
keeps coming up.
It does, and I think we're sort of talking about it now because financially a lot of people are coming into the 30th of June, new financial year, new start, new budgets, and all of those sorts of things. So this could be one that you decide to incorporate into it. And I've had this conversation with many, many people this week, and I thought what a good continuation for the show is, what do I do for my grandkids? What do I do for my kids? And the comment I get a lot is, if only my kids had known this or done this, or I'd done it sooner. And you know, you and I are sitting here today because for many, many years, it frustrated me that adults would come in and say, oh, look, I'm going to retire at 60. And I'd say, how old are you? 58.
Mm-hmm.
This super thing, should I look at it? You know, and here we are talking about it. So in relation to kids, starting something sooner with less is far, far better from a compound interest perspective. And I know compound interest is something that's thrown around and everybody knows the word and the language. And yeah, I sort of understand that it's investment, then reinvested on investment and reinvested on investment and reinvest and reinvest and reinvest. And that's exactly what it is. But the power of time and repetition, and we've got some examples today, some very attainable examples. I just want people to do a little something a little sooner. And if I could swap "you don't know what you don't know" for another tagline, it would be "do a little something a little sooner." And today's really about saying, okay, everybody can find something. And from a financial standpoint, we do things through our working life for our kids. And it's something that every parent is aware of, worries about, thinks about. So it's about realizing that you don't need a lot to start. The biggest misconception I get all the time is, well, I need $10,000 for that. I need $20,000 for that. I need this amount of money to buy those particular things. Now, there are lots of good ways to start this. One is you go to a third-party provider like a Vanguard, and they, a couple of years back, released like a retail platform for mums and dads. And that is a very, very easy way to open an account with, I think, 200's a minimum, might be 500. And you can pick an investment and you can add to it regularly. Now, that is literally all you need to do. You need to start with a number. You need to add a number regularly, whatever that may be. And you might say, oh, but, you know, it's $12.50 a week.
Yeah.
And in an example I'll show you in a sec, the power of that over time. If you've got grandkids or your children are little, open up an account. You could use a Vanguard, and there's loads of others. There's BlackRock. There's a million providers that you can use. The other good way and simple way to get into it, and we've talked about in previous shows, is to use a micro investing app like a Raise or a Starship or Acorns, or you know, there's a plethora of them. Find one that you like. Find one that you understand. Start it with something little. You know, my kids have one of these. They're 6 and 8. And I opened it because I was looking at it last night, 12th of February, 2020, with $100.
Yep.
And I just pick a number and I add to that and I forget about it. And that's what I want people to understand. You don't need a lot. You don't need to change your lifestyle. You just need to drip feed something in over time and let compounding do the rest.
I did read an article recently with a very similar message about the best thing that young people can do for themselves starting out at the beginning of their working life, save $100 a week for a year.
Beautiful.
That's just over $5,000.
Beautiful.
And according to the article, now I forget the exact maths though, but if they put that $5,200 into a decent investment vehicle of some kind, whether it's a managed fund or something along those lines, at a given rate of return over the working life, by the time they are ready to retire, it was worth like something like $250,000 or something.
Well, and
that's even without adding to it.
And this is a great segue into some real life examples that I think a lot of people could achieve. And look, I'm not saying use this number, okay? So don't ring me on Monday and go, oh, you said I have to do this. I'm not. I'm just illustrating an option. If you can start with $10 and put $5 a month into something, guess what? That's $15 you've kicked something off with and $5 that's proactively helping the next generation, not just financially, but from an education perspective. Get them engaged with it. Show them. Because you might start something off and let them finish it. And so here's an example. Right? Take $1,000.
Okay.
Right? Arbitrary number, $1,000. Let's say it assumes a rate of return of 7%, which in any sort of decent growth area is very attainable.
Yes.
Over the longer term. And let's say you let it cook for your grandkids for the next 20 years. All right? Now, if you just put $1,000 in and left it alone in that bank interest environment, which I see all the time, I've opened a bank account for my son and my grandkids, 20 years' time, that's worth $3,870. Okay, now, not significant. Let's look at example number two. Same, start with 1,000, 7% return, reinvested over 20 years, and we add $50 a month, okay, or $12.50 a week. At the end of the 20 years, we've now leapt to $44,497, and we're looking for $12.50 a week. Again, arbitrary number. But all I'm trying to illustrate here is for a very, very small contribution of what is now two lattes, which is more frightening than anything else.
Yep.
That's a massive, massive difference and a great illustration of the benefit of compounding, but the benefit of repetition and adding a little bit. Let's go to the last one. Let's say you added $100 a month or $25 a week. Okay. That leaps to $76,388 at the end of 20 years. And what have you really done? You started great behavior, you set up a direct debit,
well,
and you let it cook.
$25 a week, that's a coffee a day.
There you go. So it's not the end of the world, is it? No. I'm not asking you to sell your house. I'm not asking you to change your car over. I'm not asking you to you know, give up your golf membership.
Mm.
You know. But again, I just want to illustrate that you can get really, really powerful outcomes with really, really small contributions and really, really small starting values. Now, if you want to start with $100, great.
Yep.
As you get older and you mature, salaries go up, costs go down, mortgages get paid off, you might turn $100 a month into $300 a month, $400 a month, $500 a month. You might do $100 a month until the kids are at work and then say, hey, you're now taking over that $100 a month and you're going to let it cook for another 20 years.
Yep.
Okay. So let's look at that as the last sort of long-term example. If you had $100 a month and you had your $1,000 starting, 7% return,
yep,
and you let it cook for 40 years, $264,608.
Wow. And there you have it.
That's not so scary, right?
No, that's right. There's your $250,000,
yeah,
for just the equivalent of a coffee a day.
Yeah. And what I want people to take from this is do a little something a little sooner, because they're not outlandish numbers. They really aren't. And if you can do more, great. If you can't, that's fine too. But I highly suggest that people think about doing something. Don't just save into a bank account. Oh, my daughter got this for a birthday. There's cards from granny. There's this from the cousin. There's this from the uncle. Whack it into something like that. Let it cook. Because the more you have compounding, the greater the graph. And the key drivers are time and adding a little something with repetition.
Now, of course, the whole point of this is the compound accrual of the returns from the investment.
Yep.
So whatever is returned from the investment, whether it's dividends from shares or interest from deposits, goes back into the investment to make the nest egg bigger.
Yep.
And that's what they call the magic of compound interest. Yep. So I know that we started this discussion with you saying people get this idea, oh, I can't really do any investments until I have $10,000 or something like that. Really, if you want that $10,000 or even $5,000, well, $5,000 is $100 a week for a year. Most of us can manage to do that. And then with that $5,000, you can look at some of those investment options. But I think when you're talking about how much money you should start putting aside, all of the classical advice that was always given years ago was it should be about 10% of your income. And if you can manage it, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, look, exactly. I think you need to understand that the biggest problem I find most people have out of the gates is they don't know what they're working with. They become disenfranchised because something can't be repeated, or they've set their expectations too high, trying to keep up with a brother, a sister, a friend, a coworker. Oh, they're doing this, I need to do this. And it starts to affect their lifestyle. And then you become disenfranchised and stop. It's a bit like going to the gym for a month and going, how come I'm not ripped? Mm-hmm. Oh, this is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But if you turn up four times a week and you look at yourself in 3 years' time and go, wow, that just happened overnight.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of concept where just start it, don't look at it, and let it cook.
It's the same old story, isn't it? Overnight success is usually based on years of hard work.
100%. Yeah, exactly. You can become an overnight success in 20 years. No problems.
Yeah.
But again, I just want to break that misconception that you need heaps to start. It needs to be really difficult. You really don't. You can literally do the following. Log on to something like vanguard.com.au. Pick a growth option, for example. Now, that will give you a mix of 70% growth assets and 30% defensive. Now, if people go, oh, well, that sounds aggressive, guess what? 95% of people's super funds are holding that asset allocation. It's just called balanced.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't balanced, but that's okay because we have time and we can add to it. So go to there or open up an app, pick a pre-made portfolio. You don't have to be a stock picker. You don't have to be a financial guru. Pick something that has 70 or 80% growth assets, and that means you add up the allocations to Australian equities, international, and property. If those three sectors equal 70 or 80%, you're fine. Link a bank account to the platform you've just opened. Put in your $1,000 and say, I'd like it to go into this particular growth investment initially. That's fine. I'd like a direct debit of $50 a month, please, to come out of my account and go into that investment. And then look at it in 20 years. You could do it one afternoon after four beers. Don't do it after five beers because $50 might become 100.
You might make an error.
But my point is, do something a little sooner and just let it cook, and you'll change the financial life of your kids without even trying.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me today. We're asking the question, how can you give your kids the greatest start to life financially? It's around about 11 minutes to 5. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Well, it's about 7 minutes to 5 now. Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me in the studio today. And we're talking money matters as we do on most Fridays. But today, it's the age-old question. How can you give your kids the greatest start in life financially? Well, you can try all the good advice in the world, but sometimes you need to show them the way, don't you?
Look, I think from a financial standpoint, that's one thing. From an education standpoint, I find kids that come in that have been influenced by well-educated parents financially have a huge leap on their peers because they understand the value of time and they understand the value of consistency. And I think that's what we're trying to sort of drum into people listening today as they're driving down the coast for the long weekend is, you know, start something now, not later. Start something smaller now rather than more later. I think you can add anything to a portfolio, and that could be part of some money from a kid's job when they get to that teenage years. It could be money that ends up in a birthday card from Nana. I would be saving something into a portfolio over a bank account for young children and just leave it alone. The two key things, automate and repeat. Automate, repeat. Set up a direct debit. Stop thinking about it. Don't look at it. You can always get money out. So you might have a goal and say, right, if we got X into the portfolio when you're 20, I'll use that to buy you a car. Cool. You know, I mean, you need some incentive for the kids to remain engaged, but also remember that benefit of compounding doesn't have to end when they get to an age where they can access it.
Yeah.
Because they'll get jobs, they'll finish uni, they'll study, they'll get a trade, they'll earn their money, and they could take over that $100 a month, $50 a month that you've been doing for 20 years, and that could exponentially assist them compound things even further into their 20s, 30s, and 40s. I think that leads you to that peace of mind that the kids are well educated, because I think schools do a horrible job of teaching finance and useful finance.
I don't think they teach it at all, do they?
I'm glad you said it. I was just trying to be nice on a Friday.
Well, see, I have not been in school for a long time, but when I was there, the closest we came to it was financial math, which gave us some formulas. It was all very dry and technical, though. It wasn't proper advice on how to manage your budget and things like that.
And it's not useful. You know, it's great that you know pi, and it's great you can find x, but can you find some money to set up a, you know, an investment portfolio? I think you can use ETFs as a cost-effective way to get really good diversification. So pick a provider that gives you some decent choices. As again, Vanguard is just one, but you know, as the largest or one of the largest issuers of investments on the planet, you couldn't really find a more high quality provider than that. Or look at a micro investing app, because we live and die with our hands on a phone, and you can use an app and be engaged in that process and teach the kids. But technology should be your friend, use it. And I think if you can automate and set up a direct debit and not have to manually do it yourself, there's less chance of you diluting that benefit and then forgetting or becoming disenfranchised. So set up something small, save regularly. If you can add to that and increase the frequency or the size of your savings, wonderful. But more importantly, let it cook, let it cook, let it cook. And I think your kids will be, one, very well educated with good behaviours, and two, engaged to then continue to set themselves up and use that money at some point for a house or a building or whatever.
And gone are the days where you had to save up thousands of dollars before you could call a stockbroker. You can just do it all on your phone, as you say, and you can start with micro-investing apps, and it's been made so easy there's no excuse.
And the other thing is, the micro-investing app, whilst it sounds small, they do use very high-quality exchange-traded funds as their investment options. Yep. So don't think that you have to use a lesser quality product. You really, really don't. So it's do your investigation, find something that works for you.
So where can listeners get more information?
Yeah, office number, still 6260-4749. We've got envisionfinancial.com.au on the internet. That's Envision with an E. We've got the podcast, The Strategy Stacker, Luke Talks Money on iTunes and Spotify. We've got the YouTube channel, Envision Financial Canberra. We've got the shorts on there. We've got the Strategy Stacker handle on the Tiki Tocker. And all of this type of investment information is in Smart Money Strategy, Your Ultimate Guide to Financial Planning, the book that is in all good bookstores, all bad bookstores, Amazon and Booktopia.
You're getting in ahead of me now, aren't you?
I know it's coming.
Indeed, indeed. Luke, thanks very much, and we'll catch you again next week.
See you next Friday.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial back with us again at the same time next Friday afternoon to talk money matters all over again.